After a summer of civil unrest, Philadelphia voters in November overwhelmingly gave City Council the green light to create a new police advisory commission, a body that is supposed to make policy suggestions and help people file complaints against the police. But there already is a commission like this, and there has been for the last 25 years. Why has the existing commission fallen short, and how will this new one be different? I'm Annette John Hall. This is The Why. WHYY criminal justice reporter Aaron Moselle walks us through. So, Aaron, Philadelphians voted to form a new police oversight commission to replace the existing one. What's the story of the police oversight commission we already have in Philadelphia? How did that one get started?
It's been around for more than two decades. At this point, it was created by executive order by then-Mayor Ed Rendell in the early 90s.
All right. So just for the record, Governor, can you just give me your first and last name?
Ed Rendell.
Okay.
I got Ed Rendell on the phone to talk about why he created this, and he told me that a big motivation for him was to try and mend the strained relationship that police had with citizens back then, much like we still see today.
I felt there was tremendous need to restore confidence that actions of police would be reviewed impartially.
People remembered how police had treated a lot of residents, particularly residents in Black and brown communities, during the Rizzo years. For those who don't know, Frank Rizzo was a former police commissioner. He was police commissioner before he was elected mayor. And during his time as mayor, residents were not treated well by police. So there was a lot of damage that happened in the relationship between police and residents as a result of that.
Citizens had lost faith in the police's ability to police themselves. That was almost universal across the length and breadth of the city.
The key difference, I think, between what we see today and what Rendell was dealing with was that the commission at the time faced a lot more opposition. There were definitely groups that were pushing against it, including, and not surprisingly, the Fraternal Order of Police, the police union in the city.
Do you recall there being any kind of pushback when this came up? I mean, either from police
FOP opposed it.
And what was their rationale?
Internal affairs did a good enough job.
So there was a lot of back and forth between Rendell and members of council. Eventually, they did reach sort of a middle ground, and that's kind of what we see reflected in the executive order that we have today. But, you know, even so, even after all this back and forth, critics still said that there were problems with this commission, kind of inherent problems. An Inquirer article that I read from that time said that Rendell's support, even after this compromise, was kind of half-hearted in a sense. And the same article even quoted one commissioner saying the agency was designed to fail.
So this commission is still in place today. What does it do?
Right. It's still in place. It serves a few different functions. You know, it's always been this place where residents can go to file complaints against officers who they believe have misbehaved and should be disciplined for that. In some cases, people may not feel comfortable filing that complaint directly with the police department, and so they can go to the Police Advisory Commission and file it there. Ultimately, the commission does not investigate that complaint. It's still handled by the police department, but the commission can help residents craft a complaint so that when it gets to the police department, it's very clear what the issue is. The agency also, at this point, makes a lot of policy recommendations. So there was a report that they did on the use of body-worn cameras. There was a report that they did on racial bias issues and police response. This is back a couple of years ago, after a couple of Black men were arrested for criminal trespass at a Center City Starbucks. You may remember that incident. It made international news.
Protesters calling for justice today. After the arrests of two Black men at this Philadelphia Starbucks on Thursday.
They were there for a business meeting when the manager called 911. They wound up leaving the store in handcuffs.
So I'm just trying to get clear on what it does, Aaron. If a citizen files a complaint, how long does it take for it to be resolved? What's the process?
It's a pretty long process. Even if they file a complaint with the commission, as I said, it'll still be bumped over to the police department, specifically the Internal Affairs Department. The Internal Affairs Department will determine whether that complaint can be substantiated. If they do say that there's enough, then the issue goes to this police board of inquiry, which is made up of three people, all officers, and they essentially decide whether the officer is guilty or not guilty. It's not those exact terms, but that's the general idea. And then whatever they decide, they will send that recommendation to the police commissioner, who has the final say in determining what happens.
Okay, so wait, all of the people making choices about what happens to police officers are the police?
Yeah, that's right. And ultimately, on top of that, even if the police commissioner makes a decision, under state law, police officers still have the ability through their union to essentially appeal that decision through a process known as grievance arbitration, which we've seen over the years has often resulted in discipline being reduced by the arbitrator and in some cases completely overturned. And that sort of adds time to this entire process. So you have the complaint that's filed and kind of worked its way through these various stages, and that can take a couple years. But then if it turns out at the end of that process that there's discipline that's handed down and arbitration comes into play, then, you know, we have more time that we can see before ultimately we know if an officer is going to remain fired, for example, or potentially get their job back, which we've seen in a lot of cases over the years.
I can imagine that that would be too long for anything meaningful to come out of these complaints. People can forget about them. They can be lost. All kinds of things can happen. Has it worked?
You know, if you talk to Rendell, he says it did work at first.
I think for a while it had a positive effect, but the arbitration process wore it down.
But since its inception, people have criticized it for two major reasons. The big one is that people say the commission never really had enough power, enough teeth to make lasting change. For example, you know, decisions made by the commission have never been binding. They're really just recommendations that the police commissioner can consider or ignore, which has happened. And so even though there's technically this oversight commission, the police are still effectively policing themselves. The other issue that people have is that the commission has never had a big enough budget. And that's important because if you want to be an agency that monitors investigations into police misconduct, you need staff to do that. And, you know, to be clear, no one really blames the commission itself for these shortcomings. The criticism really speaks more to the hand it was dealt, specifically, you know, what's in the executive order that was created by Rendell, you know, more than 25 years ago at this point.
When we come back,
there hasn't been sort of a wholehearted, you know, full-throated expansion of police oversight in Philadelphia, and there is one now.
Supporting WHYY, Penn Medicine, helping to find new cures for cancer. With life-saving clinical trials and advanced surgical techniques, Penn Medicine is offering more hope for patients everywhere. Learn more at pennmedicine.org/cancer. Penn Medicine, what's next?
This is The Why. I'm Annette John Hall. I'm talking to WHYY criminal justice reporter Aaron Mozell about Philadelphia's Police Advisory Commission, which has received a lot of criticism for being ineffective. So, Aaron, after years of this commission not being able to do a whole lot, and after the shooting in October of Walter Wallace Jr., fresh in the minds of everybody, Philadelphians voted to create something new called the Citizens Police Oversight Commission. How is that different from the one that was already in place?
Yeah, so at this point, we don't really know. That's kind of the short answer. What voters passed in November overwhelmingly gave council the green light to create this new oversight commission, but that's all it really does. There isn't any discussion about what its powers will be or what its budget will be. That will all be part of a forthcoming bill that will be introduced by Councilmember Curtis Jones,
Councilman, 4th District, Chair of Public Safety Committee,
which will enable this body to actually be created. But as we sit right now, there are very few details that we have, just people's hopes for the commission, basically.
Everything is on the table. Everyone should be at the table.
Why do we have to make a new commission? Why can't we just make changes to the old one?
So currently, the Police Advisory Commission is part of the mayor's administration, basically by default, because it was created through executive order. So that's kind of where it lives in the government landscape. One of the goals for this new commission is to make it permanent and independent. And that's essentially what the ballot measure did, in addition to giving council the green light.
Mm-hmm. Will this commission be better funded?
That's a really big open question at the moment. That is certainly the goal, a very big goal of both City Council Member Jones and really anyone that I've talked to who is paying attention to this. You know, you can create the best police advisory commission there is out there in terms of best practices, but if it's not well funded, it's not going to mean a lot.
To not fund that commission so that it can actually perform the duties is not fair.
So that is one thing that Jones says he wants to make sure is part of this enabling legislation that we talked about. Specifically, what that funding will look like or how that works, that's unclear what mechanism the city will use.
From everyone you've spoken to, especially community members, what do they say is on their wish list from a new commission?
One of the groups that has really spent a lot of time thinking about this is this group POWER, which is this interfaith social justice organization.
All right. Good evening, everyone. And we want to welcome you back to our town hall series on police oversight.
They've held several town halls specifically about, like, what could this new commission be?
Relieve the police officers of the responsibility of trying to police themselves.
And I talked to Melanie DeBose. She's a North Philly pastor, and she co-chairs POWER. And she says, you know, for her, the biggest thing is that the body should have residents on the commission from across the city.
To make sure that the commission is representative of the citizens of Philadelphia.
And she would like that the commission have the power to hire and fire the police commissioner. It's a power that currently resides with the mayor.
So the commissioners, you know, they're not subject to the will of the mayor as much as the will of the people.
And so that would be a major change if that showed up.
Yeah, it really would be. Given everything that's happened before, this long history of the police commission, and the hold that the police department has on its procedures, what makes people think that this new iteration of the Police Advisory Commission can be different?
So this particular commission generally has a lot more widespread support. And, you know, I think a lot of that has to do with the time that it's being created in. As you mentioned earlier, this process is happening after the police killing of Walter Wallace in West Philadelphia, but it also comes, obviously, you know, after the police killing of George Floyd in Minneapolis, and comes after all of the civil unrest and protests over police brutality and racial injustice that followed that. So the issues of officer behavior and police department accountability and transparency, those are very fresh in people's minds. These are issues that people have always worked on, but at this point are very much part of the national conversation and, you know, will continue to be. You know, and in Philadelphia, a city that has long had issues with police and their relationships with communities, particularly Black and Brown communities, these are issues that have never gone away, and it just, at this point, have more fuel that's been added to them because of the recent incidents. You know, I talked to Anthony Iracci, who is currently leading the Police Advisory Commission. He really thinks that this new commission, if it's done the right way, if it has the right budget, that it has the potential to be really transformative for a city that, you know, has long had issues with its police department.
I'm incredibly optimistic about what it could be. There hasn't been sort of a wholehearted, you know, full-throated expansion of police oversight in Philadelphia, and there is one now, right? And it's the right moment where the issues are relevant to the public, and it's a priority for the administration and council.
But ultimately, as we've been saying throughout this conversation, you know, it's hard to predict what impact it really will have because we just haven't seen the details to back that up. Jones wants to have this thing up and running by the summer. We'll have an idea of how things, at least on paper, look earlier than that. But, you know, it'll be some time before we see if this new commission is that much better than what we have now.
Well, Aaron, thanks so much for joining us to talk about this new iteration of the Police Advisory Commission. We appreciate it.
You're welcome.
That was WHYY criminal justice reporter Aaron Mozell. The Y is produced by me, Annette John Hall, along with Shai Binyakov, Alex Stern, Kelsey Hansen, Sabrina Boyd-Zirka, and Buffy Gorilla, under the editorial direction of Ariella Cohen. We had editing help on this episode from Nina Feldman. Hit me up on Twitter at AnnetteJH. Thanks for listening. Stay safe, and we'll talk Monday.